Welcome to Meenal's World. Thank you to everyone who's been tuning in over the last couple of weeks and keeping up with the pandemic with me and listening to these stories as well, because, you know, everything's changing so rapidly every week. And even when I listen back to episode 6, for example, which is when everything kicked off, to listening to my feelings as we go along, a lot of things have changed. We've come to terms with a lot of things, and a lot of you have got in touch with me, a lot of healthcare workers, a lot of doctors and nurses who feel that, you know, we need to have a voice. And my podcast, not just my podcast, but so many other podcasts are working so hard to be the voice of all the frontline healthcare workers and everybody who's been affected by the pandemic. So thank you to everyone who's been listening in, and thank you to everyone on your feedback as well. On the last episode, which was a YouTube special, I was really hoping to do more of those over the next few months, but I just haven't had a chance to do that for obvious reasons, because of maintaining social distancing and traveling is banned. So hopefully I can get more of that to you over the next few months, and we can bring a nice change to Meenal's World together. And it's only because of you listeners supporting me throughout the last couple of months. So this episode this week is very important to me personally. Last month I spoke about the tsunami that was coming India's way. I didn't speak about it on the podcast. I spoke about it on other podcasts. I spoke about it on my personal Facebook page, and I spoke about it with my family as well. But the main feedback that I was receiving was that I was told it was none of my business because I don't live there. And why should I point out the failures of a government in a country that I don't live in? But for me, this is not a case of COVID-19 in India or in the UK or in China. This is a global crisis. And we all play a role in speaking out for other humans who had to face an unimaginable amount of suffering during this time. Not even what I'm seeing in the hospitals, but what I'm seeing, not just what I'm seeing with patients, but what I'm seeing with migrant workers, laborers who are working in India. And I had to speak to someone to just get my head around what was really happening. So Pia Hazarika is an illustrator and graphic designer, and she does a lot of artwork to express herself. And she also has a deep knowledge about the politics and the effect of the government's actions in communicating the message of how to stay safe during the pandemic. We've come to the conclusion that not just this government in India, but the government in the UK, and possibly a lot of other governments around the world, have had a big gap in communication. But with India specifically, there are so many parallels between this pandemic and what happened during demonetization. The main one being the lack of consideration for the working class and the lack of communication to them as well. So instead of announcing relief measures and providing resources that are needed to overcome this crisis, we're being distracted by lighting beers and by praising healthcare workers. So this episode will give you a real insight into the suffering that's happening and how now more than ever we need to lift each other up and help everybody. I've seen a lot of comments on the internet. I've seen a lot of racism. I've seen a lot of hate. But it's our responsibility to speak up. We cannot be a spectator to the injustice that's happening. And I feel so strongly about it because my father was once a labourer. My father was once someone who lived in the slums of India. He didn't have any financial support. He didn't have anyone to help him during his difficult times. If my father was in this pandemic at that time, I'm sure he would have been affected in the same way that people are right now. And this is why this hits me so close to home. So I really hope this episode gives you a better insight into what's happening. And I hope this episode gives you some encouragement as well to not just help others and to understand what's happening in your country and to read up more on what's happening, but also to speak up against any injustice that you're seeing, to speak up against any wrongdoing that you see happening around you, or even within your neighborhood as well. So I'll let you listen to this episode, and I'm really looking forward to all the comments that I'm going to get after this. Welcome to the show, Pia. Thank you for joining me today. We've had a few discussions over the last couple of weeks, and I think it's really important that we record our discussions now.
Okay, thank you for having me, of course.
Yeah. So, Pia, before we go into what I want to talk about, which is how India is dealing with the pandemic and COVID, how are you dealing with it and how are you feeling today?
I'm kind of okay, actually. Like, I work from home. Like, I run a mm-hmm. home studio. I've been doing it for, like, maybe the last, like, 5 years. And I don't really go out that much. So it isn't really, like, sort of...
So is this your dream come true?
Well, not really, because now everyone's at home and the internet bandwidth has gone nuts. And yeah. I can't get it fixed because getting, like, the internet guys in is a non-essential service. But people are managing. I am managing. Mm. Like, my mom and brother are going a bit cabin fevery, but that's it.
Do you feel like tension's building up between family members as well?
I can't speak from personal experience over here, but I do understand that there are, like, situations where, like, people I know or friends of mine or anyone in general are in situations where they're in homes where it isn't the easiest, or there are, like, with abusive families, or, like, there are uneasy relationships. And I know this is a big deal because I've seen, like, a lot of helpline numbers being circulated for, like, people who need to be, like, evacuated from their homes because they are with family members who they can't necessarily, like, live alongside very easily. Tension-wise, here specifically, I don't think it's that bad because we just kind of hang out and do our own things.
Yeah. But Pia, you just mentioned that a lot of people have had to move away from their home. Where are they going?
There are a couple of shelters that have opened up that I do know about. Women, children, like, young people are sort of being relocated to, like, homes or, like, shelters that, like, local agencies and NGOs have opened up that are, like, providing, like, and food, bedding, etc., etc.
Yeah. Has your perception now about life in general changed with this lockdown, Pia? Because I've realized a lot of things throughout the last couple of weeks in terms of what I'm more grateful for, and the things that keep me going every day that I've lost, that have been taken away from us now because of the pandemic. Have you had any of those sort of realizations over the last couple of weeks?
I think, like, at this point, like, the only thing that's getting to me the most is the fact that, like, I haven't left the house in about, like, 3.5 weeks. But I'm also realizing what a place of privilege I'm in, because, you know, you're at home. There's no chance that, like, you're going to get thrown out of your house, and there's no chance that you're going to be, like, sort of short of food, especially, like, considering, like, the sort of social strata, like, a lot of us are living in. Like, you aren't, like, worrying about things that maybe a lot of people are worrying about right now. And I think over the last, like, few weeks, it's become, like, painfully obvious about the discrepancies class-wise that are happening.
Yeah.
Like, we're stressed about, like, maybe not going outside, but, like, people are starving and people are dying and people are not getting rations and people do not have access to healthcare or transport. Like, it's just, like, the news is getting very, it's sort of in this, like, sort of weird space where, like, there are the coronavirus cases, but you're also dealing with the fact that, like, you know, a child died because he didn't get enough food, like, and this is because, like, there aren't enough protocols in place, especially in India, for, like, a situation like this.
I think India is quite different in India, of course. I mean, I'm talking from the UK, but the UK government and the charities and NGOs, it seemed like there's a bit easier to control the effects of COVID, well, the indirect effects of COVID because of our population and just the way the country runs in general, I think, in the sense that people can get help a bit easier because that sense of community is a bit different to what it is in India. Because obviously in India, the division is a bit more clear, right? you have people in the villages and in the slums,
right?
And they're trying to help each other, but they've got nothing to give to each other, right?
Exactly.
And you've got these NGOs coming in, they're trying to help, but they're going to run out of donations. They're going to run out of finances at some point, and they will need help from someone else. So we're all just depending on each other. But the scale of it is so much bigger in India compared to here in the UK. And I think we need to really emphasize how this whole pandemic is having its indirect effects on these people, as you mentioned, you know, people who are having to go into shelters, people who are having to starve because of this. Now, I know no one could have prevented this. Mm-hmm. I know that there was no way to prevent this pandemic escalating so much. Of course, there's things that the government could have done to sort of slow it down and be prepared. But what do you think of the lockdown that's happened in India? And do you think that not just the government, but do you think the public, even those who are labor class, do you think they were given enough notice? Because from my understanding is that Modi had did the...
You got like
that Sunday
hours.
Where...
Yeah.
Yeah, so he did that Sunday where the whole nation was on lockdown for that one day. And then 4 hours later, he said, okay, lockdown. Before we continue, Pia, I'm not saying it's Modi's fault or any government's fault.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying how things were done. It's not Modi himself who makes all these decisions. I'm sure there are a lot of people involved. I'm just saying Modi because he's a leader. So anyone listening, don't think I'm attacking. I'm going against Modi. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying generally the government said 4 hours. In 4 hours, we're going to go in lockdown. What
yeah.
do you? How do you feel about this lack of preparation?
I mean, honestly, and at the risk of possibly incriminating myself fantastically.
Go for it, Pia. You're allowed.
I am not surprised at what happened because I think like years ago when the whole demonetization thing happened, there wasn't enough of a heads up. And because the information that was given out at that point was so unclear, a lot of people did this thing where they started like burning their money instead of changing it because you didn't understand what he was saying.
Wow.
Right. And like people just thought like a lot of their currency was just like useless versus like having the time to like sort of go to bank, switch it out for the new notes.
Yep.
A lot of people, a lot of like people, especially in villages again, because like maybe like the working class and the industrial and like people in the industrial and agricultural sector didn't understand it. They thought their money was no good anymore. And a lot of them, again, there was a huge like sort of bump in like farmers committing suicide because they didn't have access to banks or proper news channels. And they just assumed that their money was no good anymore. Like stuff they've been saving for years, like things that like money they were keeping like in their mattresses or under their beds or in lock boxes.
Yep.
So what happened here again, and like how it's a reflection of what happened last time, is that you got this very strange, like, 24-hour, like, lockdown, like, announcement. Then I think it was get out on the balconies and clap.
Don't even get me started about that, yeah.
And then in the last, like, 4 hours of the lockdown, post all the clapping, which weirdly enough, I think coincided with like the anniversary of the BJP. I'm like, it's just, and then like, I think because again of like this half information that a lot of people got, you just, a lot of people like didn't understand what was happening. And
well, I think the major issue here is communication.
Exactly.
We had the same issue here in the UK as well, and I keep coming back to the UK as well just to give a comparison and just so that our listeners and you also understand my frustration doesn't lie with Modi or the government or India. It lies with the whole world, really. It's happening here as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a global issue. This is a global problem. We have to strip off our identities and our government policies, everything, for just a moment and just think how it's affecting us globally. Our government haven't given us the right communication either. You know, they've said to us a few weeks ago, they said, go out, but try restrict how much you go out.
Right.
Like, that's not specific enough.
Exactly.
they said to us, if you're in the vulnerable group, make sure you stay at home for the next 12 weeks. But does that mean that we stay at home all the time? Are we allowed to go shopping? If we go shopping, do we wear a mask? These are the problems that were arising a few weeks ago. And because of this communication gap, people didn't really understand what lockdown meant. Exactly. And we are in a population in the UK where we're a bit more educated. We have a population that's a bit more understanding and a bit more compliant. Now, in India, we don't have that because, again, of the vast majority of people living there and the different classes of people. So if we didn't understand it here, how would you expect a laborer who lives in India and the only thing he thinks of every day is, I need my daily wage to feed my family? So,
like, people can't afford to stay home, like, over here, which I think was one of the biggest issues.
Yeah, so do you think the communication was one of the biggest issues with the government? Do you think that they have failed the country by lack of communication?
I think, honestly, especially in India over the last 3 months, like, communication between the government and its people has been a massive issue. Because it went from, like, the whole, like, CANRC and NPR issue where a lot of the working class didn't understand what was happening. To a pandemic, again, where a lot of the working class doesn't understand what's happening. And it's very easy to tell people, like, stay home, don't do this, you'll be fine. But you also seem to, like, forget that a lot of the population, like, India is huge. Like, we are built off the backs of the working class. They can't afford to stay home. They can't afford to, like, take a day off work. They can't afford to, like, just, like, hang out because they have families to feed. And, like, it went from, I mean, honestly, like, you can't really tell people you need to socially distance, expect them to understand what it means, say wear masks when you're going outside, and now it's become wear masks all the time. And it's just...
Well, I think, think, Pia, that the whole idea is, as a government, as leaders of the country, especially a big nation like India, even in the UK, you can only lead by example, and you can only tell people what to do by giving them an understanding of it, right?
Exactly.
So if you tell people to social distance, you should tell them, okay, social distancing will help because of X, Y, Z. You don't have to go into the science behind it, but just explain in simple terms. And I know, like, I've seen a lot of WhatsApp videos circulating around India. My mom's been sending me a lot of things just to show me that, look, I mean, they are educating people in a different way, in ways that people will understand. And that's amazing. That's great. But why is the population doing that? Why hasn't the government done that? That's not our responsibility. You're supposed to take care of us. But I saw this coming last month, the beginning of March. I remember, Pierre, I called my family in India and I said, I know that you've got, like, lots of maids who come into the house. And I know these maids are also working in different houses. So they don't just work with you. They're working in other places and they come and go. And they don't understand the essentials of hygiene. They don't understand you have to wash your hands for 20 seconds. And I don't blame them because no one's told them. So I did say a month ago to my family that you can't call maids in, like, just for the next month or so, just try manage by yourself. But Pia, I realized that this, we're so dependent on them, right? It's just how our life is. It's just like our right arm. We can't get rid of it. And I don't blame them because that's what how they've been raised. But at that time, no one thought about, okay, if my maids don't come, what's going to happen? But I kept telling my family that this is something that you need to be aware of. Were you in that position when the lockdown happened? Did these things come to your head? Like, what's going to happen to the labor class? What's going to happen to people who are going through domestic abuse? Did all these things come to your head or did it only come to light after?
I mean, the domestic abuse stuff was always there because I do work with a lot of women's groups and, like, I work a lot with, like, women's health and sexual violence and stuff. So this is always, like, a sort of, like, thing that's running in the back of my head. But I think what happened in that whole, like, you need to, like, ask your domestic workers to stay at home situation, like, people are managing, but there's also been, like, cases where, like, people have been smuggling their maids into their... Yes, in like, the backs of cars. And they're smuggling their maids into these, like, gated communities because they just don't want to, like, sort of buckle down and do the work by themselves. And
wow,
it's just, it's so irresponsible.
Hmm.
And at the same time, there's this like double-edged sword where like, okay, fine, you can ask them not to come in, but like, are you going to pay them their like monthly salary because they need to survive?
Yeah, that's true.
And there have been like a lot of situations where like people's drivers are getting fired, people's watchmen are getting fired, people's like part-time help is being asked not to come in, but they aren't being paid. So they're also being put in a very like sort of dangerous position where like they're looking for work. And even if they are getting sort of like short-staffed by people who are going to pay them less in this time, they still need the work. And
well, this is going back to, again, the government, right? I mean, it's going back to what the government have done. They should have announced early on so businesses would be prepared, families would be prepared. Like, okay, I won't have my workers for a month. I won't have my mates for a month. Mm-hmm. Let's have a financial plan in place for them. I remember when I made my phone call to India last month, everyone just laughed at me and everyone just told me to just like sort of be quiet and just get on with my own life and not to interfere. Like, you know, standard typical scolding that I got from
the elders. Like, don't worry, sab theek ho jayega, koi baat nahi.
Safety, yeah, sab theek hai, meaning sab theek hai, kyun chinta kar rahi hai, like all that. And I said, well, I saw what happened in the UK and I could see what was coming. And obviously as doctors, Pia, we're like 10 steps ahead, right? We're seeing what's happening in the hospital. We know what's coming. We know what's hitting us. But I told my family, I said, send your maids home and just give them their salary for a month at least, mm-hmm. and then they can figure it out. So they managed to sort something out and they helped them. And then just last week I saw online, I think it was Barker, that who, by the way, is doing an amazing job of journaling all the real stories and the real suffering that's happening. And she's a big inspiration to my own work as well, because I think she's doing more than all the news channels put together in India, single-handedly by sharing these stories. And she shared a story about a couple who were in Noida. They were walking home. So they had to walk home and they had to walk 100 kilometers, 200 kilometers. And I was like, why is everyone going home? Like, why are you moving? Why are you migrating? And I didn't realize that they're doing it because they're not getting the money that they need to pay the rent in these cities. So they have to go back. So when I speak to my family in India, they're like, oh yeah, they're just being silly. They're just going back home because they're scared the family won't have food. And I was like, it can't just be that, right? It can't just be fear. There has to be something more practical behind it.
It's not fear. Now, it's like survival at this point.
And you see like pregnant ladies walking and they're not getting the food they need. They're not getting anything they need. And I mean, where do we even start, Pia? Like, how can all of this be controlled, do you think?
I honestly, at this point, like, I don't, like, mean to get very, like, sort of down on everything, but, like, India's been dealing with, like, protests since December. It's coming off the backs of, like, a pretty sort of violent, like, communal riot in Delhi, like, a couple of, like, months ago.
Yeah.
Like, people are still in, like, riot relief camps, and then this thing hit. And even then, like, there weren't any systems in place to protect victims of the riots then, and then a pandemic now. And then you have that sort of like cross-section in the Venn diagram of people who were hit by the riots and are hit by the pandemic, because a lot of them are still like really homeless right now. And a lot of the relief camps do not have the bandwidth or the medication or the supplies to deal with this. And from what I understand, it's a lot of like community sort of coming together to like provide, you know, relief to people who need
it. So it's become a people responsibility rather than a government responsibility.
Exactly.
Now because the government haven't taken action. But yeah, I wanted to ask you a bit about how it works in India. Again, as someone from the outside, I'm not entirely sure if what I'm saying is correct, but how I know you, so you've got the government that's controlling India, but then obviously you've got the states that have their own politicians and members of parliament who deal with what's going on. So if, for example, Modi says lockdown now, this is what's going to happen. How does that sort of seep down into what happens in the States? Because someone told me a few days ago, it was a colleague of mine, a doctor, she said that a lot of these states sort of run by themselves, and they ignore what Modi says or what his government are saying. So when I ask you, how can we control such a mass problem? Obviously, we have to break it down into the states first, and then we can deal with it. But how responsible are the people running the states now?
Honestly, at this point, I feel like the home ministers are doing a way better job than the center. Like,
excellent. Good. And I'm glad to hear that. At least someone's doing something.
Like, Mamata Banerjee has been in talks with like multiple hospital boards for West Bengal about getting extra beds and ventilators. The Shiv Sena in Bombay, like under Uddhav Thackeray, was sort of like instrumental in shutting down like the trains and the buses and public transport and getting them all like sanitized and telling people like, do not get out of the house, like get off public transport. Like, we will like sort it out. We'll take care of you. Arvind Kejriwal is doing the same thing over here, where like a lot of like the metros and stuff are shut down because the home ministers are asking people to like stay home. In I think Karnataka, like Yedurappa did, I'm not exactly sure what he's done in terms of like administrative stuff, but he is sort of talking about the fact that you shouldn't be inciting like communal hatred inside of a pandemic. So stop taking it out on like minority groups. Like, we need to come together as a city, as a state, as a country to like sort of come out of this alive. So the home ministers are doing everything, not everything maybe, but like whatever they can within their power without like sort of having their own states rise up against them.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the same time, the center is just being like, there's a lockdown, let's make some noise.
So I think that that's quite reassuring, Pierre. I think there's obviously a lot happening if we filter it down to the state level, and even from there, from the state level to even NGOs and charities who are working really hard to deal with it. Now, Pierre, just to go back to, you mentioned minorities. And I think we had this discussion a few days ago.
Yeah, we did.
Where I was almost on the verge of punching my wall. but you know, been seeing a lot of things circulating on social media. I've been seeing a lot of hatred towards China, towards Muslims and all of this. Now, I understand that there have been gatherings in mosques and there have been a lot of things still happening despite the lockdown that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah,
that's one thing. And then the second thing is this hatred against China, saying that Chinese manufactured products. I mean, if you look at your house, Pierre, if I look at my house, everything is basically from China.
Yeah, exactly.
Even my clothes are probably from a sweatshop in China. So this disrespect to other people in the world is really heartbreaking for me, Pierre, because this is not the time for it. Well, there's never a time for it, to be honest. But I mean, people are choosing hate over community at this time, right? And it's going back to what I was saying at the very beginning, that I'm not saying it's Modi or I'm not saying it's Boris Johnson here. It's a global issue. It's a global thing that we're dealing with right now. We all have to work together. Now, I've read a lot of things about people talking about China and the hatred towards the government there. I'm going to put my hand down and say, I think everyone's being really racist. What do you think?
Everyone is really racist sometimes.
Yeah. Because racism is a strong word to use, Pierre. It's not like a lighthearted term that we can just throw about day in, day out. But the scale of what's happening, people in our country, in India, they're choosing racism over, well, actually, instead of using my energy to talk about Chinese people and my hatred towards that, why don't I just use my energy to go to my neighbor and say, actually, are you okay? Can I help you?
Yeah, exactly. But like, I think at this point, because there is such a sort of like overarching like theme of fear, like people are usually looking for like someone or a group of people to sort of like give a face to their fear on some level. And the fact that they're calling this like a Chinese virus is really wrong. But on some level, I can understand why they're doing it, because they're trying to like sort of make sense of it in their own head, like take it back to a source, give it a face, give it like an identifiable like origin point, which isn't right. Like no one saw this coming. No one was prepared. You can't blame a people for a disease.
Yeah. But Pia, do you think this is propelled and fueled by the media as well?
Well, yeah, because I feel like at this point, a lot of media, especially in the news that's been out for public consumption, is sort of like biased. I feel like, again, like I said, over the last 3 months, like the reports coming out on news channels have been biased. And instead of educating people about maybe not being completely like xenophobic or being completely like racist or spreading like hatred inside a community, they're just sort of like saying, it came from here, this is your issue. Like half-truths are making people like form complete opinions.
But yeah, I think, you know, you made a good point saying that they're trying to put their fear to a source, right? That I'm scared, I don't know what's happening, I don't know why it's happening. I'm just going to put my blame on China or on the Muslims or whatever, right? But my biggest concern, Pia, is that this thinking is coming from a generation of people who are educated. These are not posts, these are not social media things that I'm seeing from my parents or from their friends or from that generation, because if it was coming from them, I kind of get it. Like it's a different generation. They've been raised differently and their thinking process is different. But these are all things coming from people who are just a couple of years older than me, people who are not so far from me. And these are people who've been educated, they've gone to university, they have an education. And I think the issue here is critical thinking.
Yeah.
They choose not to engage their brain, and they choose not to research, and they choose not to dig deeper to figure out what's actually going on and learn, because it's easier to put the blame on other people. I think it all goes down to the education system in India. I know it's improving and a lot of things have been done to change it, but the majority of it is spoon-fed.
It is.
So when you're raising a country of millennials, of change makers,
right,
and you're spoon-feeding them, how do you expect them to engage their brain and think critically? And how are these people going to be the leaders of our country in the future? This is my take on it, Pia. What do you think?
Like, I mean, I'm honestly the last person to tell people who like how they should be thinking, because
So am I. I'm not saying you should think in this way or think in that way, but it's just, I think the general thought that's going around, it's people are just choosing the easy option.
Exactly, because people are choosing the easy option because they were constantly possibly like raised with the easy option, right? Like they're speaking again from inside like a bubble of privilege where nothing has really like shook them as much. Like I feel like for a lot of people, this might be like one of the first like sort of global crises that they're going through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if where you are isn't making you uncomfortable enough in terms of you having to question the way you've been raised, the people you're around, and like what your country is doing, that means you are like in a place of privilege where you aren't questioning how people are being treated across the board, but you've never had to deal with like issues or problems or any sort of like biases against you. And now, like, you know that saying, the personal is the political? Like, if your personal has been a place of bias, your politics will be a place of bias, you know? And no one is maybe questioning what's happening outside of their bubbles because they never like felt the need to, because they've never been pushing back against something bigger. And like, again, over the last maybe like not even six, like since July of like last year, I feel like a lot of people are sort of like realizing that inside of their social circles, you have a huge spectrum of people who are whose political alignment isn't necessarily the same as yours.
Yep.
And you're realizing more and more over the last, like, 3 or 2 months that they definitely aren't, like, in line with their politics, because more and more, like, sort of communal and racial biases are showing up in your social groups. And sometimes when you question them, they're just like, this is just the way I was raised. It's always been like this. My family's been like this the entire time. Like, I don't understand what the issue is. And that's because no one's ever, like, pushed back, and, like, hopefully and, like, luckily some people are realizing that there is a larger overarching issue.
Yeah,
but I think
how do you think we can change that though, Pia? Because I don't expect the education system to change in one night after this pandemic. I don't think it's easy on that scale, again, because India is such a big country. But what responsibility do we have as individual, as change makers, as people who really want to see good for our country?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think we can educate people and help them understand the realities behind what's really happening? Because when you're trying to educate someone, you have to empathize with them at a certain level, right?
Right.
But the issue I've had, Pia, is that my disbelief to seeing I'm so shocked to see what I'm seeing,
right,
is overriding my empathy. So I can't strip that off right now. It's very difficult for me to even get to the point of empathy because I'm so shocked to see what I'm seeing, and mm-hmm. I'm so angry to see what I'm seeing. But I will get there at some point. Once I let out my system, I'm sure in the next few weeks it will go away. But what do you think we can do to teach our friends, to teach our cousins, to teach our family? How can we help in that way?
I think maybe, like, honestly, it's just going to be, like, a lot of patience. You can't go at someone who's coming at you hammer and tongs with hammers and tongs.
Yep. Yep.
And you just need to, like, hope and, like, explain, like, gently but firmly where you're coming from. Because the minute you start getting defensive, people start getting defensive. And you just need to, like, sort of let people understand that you aren't coming at them, but you're just questioning what they believe and trying to, like, see if they understand things from, like, a lateral point of view versus just a very narrow-minded point of view.
Yeah, yeah.
And it takes a while sometimes.
It does, Pia. And I think one thing I've realized is that sometimes you don't just have to go up to someone and tell them how you feel or try to give them a lesson or a lecture of what's going on. Even small things like a meme,
yeah, exactly,
a funny video, these things are very thought-provoking. And I think we need to understand that education isn't just you talking to someone or telling someone something.
Exactly.
It's about trying to create new ideas. And you can only do that by showing them new things and explaining new things.
Finding, like, common ground. And then being all like, hey, we get along here, so why can't you meet me in this space as well?
Yeah. But you're doing that with your art as well, Pia. Are you trying to express yourself during this time through your art as well?
I think at this point, like, what I'm doing, like, art-wise is just my way of, like, processing things. Like, I understand that I'm also, by virtue of the space I occupy, in a bit of an echo chamber myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to lie and say there haven't been, like, points where, like, I have had, like, trolls, like, descend on my, like, Twitter or, like, my Instagram and be all, like, what are you doing? Calling me a social justice warrior. Lots of Jai Shri Rams have happened.
But, and I'm just I've had family in India tell me to stop trying to show off that I'm a doctor on social media. So everything that I'm doing for them, they see it as a publicity thing, which is obviously not what I'm doing.
Right,
but as you said before, it's people's fear, people's anger. They just don't know how to let it out. And that's how they're letting it out. And that's fine with me, because the most important thing right now is that we put our message out and we have to continue to scream from the rooftops, especially during this time, and just hope that at least one person is listening or a few people are listening.
Right.
But Pia, I just want to ask you one more thing before we wrap up. I'm talking as a doctor here. Maybe you can give me your own ideas from a different point of view. But you know, this whole clapping thing, lighting beers, and we're having the same thing in the UK. So in the UK, every Thursday, they're clapping for the NHS and for doctors. Now, I'm not very happy with the term health heroes or you are our heroes and all that, because for me, Pia, I feel like we do this on a daily basis anyway.
Exactly.
We go into hospital, we deal with life and death, we see suffering, we help patients. It's nothing new for us. So do you think that this is a way to distract people from the failings of the government, to just celebrate other people and show that the country is getting somewhere, or the country has something to celebrate in a time like this?
It's definitely a distraction. I'm just going to like stick with the fact it's a distraction.
Okay. Okay, we'll just leave that. It is a distraction. Okay. But how do you feel, Pia? I mean, like, when all of this is over, do you think people will have that same respect for doctors and healthcare workers as they are now?
I don't even think they have respect for doctors right now, because like, I know for a fact that like doctors, or like two doctors in Delhi, were like sort of beaten up on the way to the hospital because people thought they were spreading coronavirus versus fixing it. So
what?
Yes, I'm gonna send you an article like after this is over.
Yeah, send that over, please.
Yeah, so it's just like, again, so this is just like half
communication. People thought that they were like the vectors of transmission. They were the ones spreading it to everybody.
Exactly.
Wow.
Like, it's either doctors or like an Islamic like missionary setup, that like Tablighi Jamaat thing. I don't know if you've heard about that, but I'll send you some articles on that as well. I think they're sort of like taking this very base level understanding with the fact that if you're in contact with someone who is COVID positive, there's a good chance you're like one of the reasons it's spreading. Therefore, you are the enemy.
That's ridiculous.
It is.
That's honestly, wow. That really breaks my heart, Pia, because it's one of those things where no matter how much you do, people will still find something wrong, especially doctors right now. And I'm not speaking for myself. I'm speaking for even nurses, pharmacists. My last episode, I spoke to a pharmacist. Poor guy is working from like 6 a.m. to like 9 p.m. every day trying to deliver meds to everybody, because most of his patients and most of his customers are former vulnerable groups, so they can't come out.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
He's having to deliver everything. The work that's going in, the effort that's going in, is just truly incredible. And of course, people deserve the recognition. But just don't forget that we do this every day anyway.
Uh-huh.
It's not something new for us. But Pia, is there anything you're feeling right now before we end this? Before we wrap this up, how do you think the next few weeks are going to go in India? Do you think this is going to end soon? Or
I am kind of buckled down for June. Yeah.
You think India is going to be? Sorry, Pia. One second. My microphone has just messed up. One second.
It's okay. No problem.
Yeah. So, yeah. Sorry, Pia. So I was asking, do you think this lockdown is going to continue until June?
I feel like it's probably like better that it continues until like at least mid May, hopefully. Because right now this thing is happening where like a lot of like the cities have been like segregated in like containment zones. It happened to Bombay last week. It's happening to Delhi like now. And I think the issue is that like, because there are so many like lower income neighborhoods and like large sort of like slum areas, like once it hits one of those, like you have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Pia. I think the effect of COVID is going to be seen after the lockdown.
No, definitely.
What we're seeing now is just a taster. We'll really see what's going to happen, especially in India, and even the UK as well. I think in the UK, what they will do is they will slowly introduce people into society, with the younger people first and then the elderly people right at the end.
Right.
For obvious reasons. But again, the economic impact that it's having here is one thing, but obviously what's happening in India is on a completely different scale. And I think I've come to realize, and I've just come to accept, Pia, that people will suffer. There's no right way. You can't end the suffering completely. It's just, how can we minimize it? And how can we sort of slow it down and help where we can? So people will suffer, people will die, people will be affected. But I think if we all just remember that we all have a responsibility in not even just staying at home, that's one thing. I mean, it's quite...
Responsibility for like other people as well at this point, not just yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So staying at home is one thing, but also remember that we are the leaders of the future. You are going to have kids in the future. I'm going to have kids in the future. We're going to teach them our political thinking, our critical thinking. And this is the time now to practice it. This is the time now to help our families change their viewpoints and really understand how we can work as a global community. Because this is not COVID in India or COVID in UK. It's COVID all over the world now. How can we help people around the world? But Pia, I hope you stay safe over the next few weeks. And I hope you stay sane. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed this conversation.
No, it was great. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Thank you, Pia. So thank you, Pia, for joining me. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in as well. This episode was a big eye-opener for me. And I hope it's an eye-opener to everybody else who's listening, whether you're in India or outside India. And I'd like to know how people are dealing with this crisis within their own country, because a lot of it is politics and a lot of it is down to how the government has dealt with the pandemic. But I want to know what people are doing from their perspective and what they're capable of doing within their limitations, of course, because we're quite limited to what we can do now. And I'd love to hear from everyone. And if you want to know how you can help more in your own country, just drop me a message and I'm sure we can figure things out together. I'm sure we can help each other, help others, and this is exactly what we want to do. You will all go through the phases of anger, of hate, of uncertainty, and as Pia mentioned, that we try to sort of put that to a specific source, and that source is not any person, is not any race, it's not any religion. That source is nature, that source is the virus, and that virus has come and hit us in such a way that nobody was prepared for it. We could have been better prepared, of course, from a government side, but in terms of humans and the global community, we just weren't ready for what was coming. These are very, very unique times, and we'll never face this ever again. So the way we deal with it now will really be a reflection of our true character as humans and as citizens, as global citizens. So I'm looking forward to all your messages on Instagram. You can find me at Meenal's World. You can also find Pia's work on Instagram. It's at Pia_Alize. I'll give you her details in the show notes. If you want to contact me, you can drop me a message to meenalsworldpodcast@gmail.com as well, if you prefer to email me. And I'd love to see what you all think. And if you have any special comments regarding the government, regarding India, please enlighten me. And I'd love to learn more. I'd really love to learn more about what's happening. Because the more knowledge we have, the better educated we are, the more we can help. And that's the most important thing right now. So thank you everyone for listening. Stay safe. Take care of your neighbors. Take care of your loved ones. Make sure you're calling up your grandparents, your cousins, your brothers and sisters. Tell them that you love them. This will all be over very, very soon. And I'll see you in next week's episode.